The revolution will be broadcast.
Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shatter Nation, to the one, the only, you guessed it, Mystifying Oracle Radio, your ghost man, a demon hunter show, Demon Hunter.
That would be me.
Yeah, oh. Baby. The one and the only, right? Anyway.
So far as I know, except for a band and a few ministers out there calling themselves by the same name.
Demon Hunter. Yeah, just a couple hundred people. Anyway, guys, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, the new Attentive Home Healthcare, guys. If you have somebody that needs some love, needs some help, make sure to go to attentivehhc.com. The SYL Project, give some love, share some love. Today, everybody needs some love.
Everybody needs some love.
Anyway, guys, welcome back to studio. Our good friends out the Canadian Network Paranormal Radio. Thanks, guys, for being so very cool.
Yeah. They are cool.
They are very cool, man.
You know, they're running their zombie awards again this year, Sean.
I seen that. Aren't we up for an award? Well, we don't know if we're up.
We're up for, so far I've seen, we're up for best host, which, you know, Sean, I voted for you.
Oh, thank you. And I voted for you. I didn't vote yet. I think that's conflict.
But folks got to go out and definitely vote for Sean and I.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, go to some of the big carriers and say, hey, there's a show called The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. Been around, say 10 years, and they got better guests than you guys do.
How do they manage that? Because we have The Ghost Man, Sean B.
How do they? And the Demon Hunter, Nathan Schoonover. No, but anyway, guys, if you're first-time listeners, because Star Wars or anything like that, I don't know what's...
I don't know what you're talking about, Sean.
I don't either. What is that, Nathan?
That thing called Star Wars. You know, I had that pang of the heart today, Sean, when somebody put up a photo of the drive-in theater that was in my hometown.
I seen your post on Facebook.
And that was where I went to see Star Wars for the very first time.
Oh, my God. Who'd you go with? Your folks?
Yeah, my mom and my brother. My mom drove us, and I think my brother got really mad because I had to pee halfway through the movie, and my mom made him take me, and... he's like, hurry up, you know, wouldn't let me wash my hands. And I didn't eat popcorn the rest of the night because I was a germaphobe even then.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, over the years, we've had amazing guests. If you guys are just joining us first time, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is everything strange and weird that's going on in the world, guys. And we bring it to you each Sunday night. One week might be a lady that's pregnant with the alien baby. The next week, Boba Fett from Star Wars or one of your favorite X-Files guests, which we just concluded the X-Files. But we're going to get into that, Nathan. But you know what time it is?
What time is it, Sean?
Oh, tonight's guest. You heard that, did you not?
I do recognize the music.
Tonight's guest is a professional actor, mixed martial artist, training stunt performer, and a fight instructor. He was a former pro soccer player, and he decided to refocus his career on acting and action performance. He's been known for his work on Fury, Beowulf, Kingsman, and of course the world's box office shattering hit, The Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Tonight, right here, guys, actor Jamie Chambers. He's a heavy gunner stormtrooper. He's going to tell us what's happening in a galaxy not so far away. And what it was like to be on set with J.J. Abrams and the cast of Star Wars. Only tonight and only at the home of the Mystifying Oracle. Huh? Of radio.
Oracle.
Yeah, Oracle Radio, your Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show. Jamie Chambers, everybody. Fury, Brad Pitt. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I'm awakened.
You're wide awakened.
I'm wide awakened. Huh? I always loved this part. Listen.
Hey, you know, I actually got to speak to Jamie earlier, Sean.
You did? You called Jamie?
I did. I tested the number because he's in England.
He is.
I had to make sure we could get a hold of him.
He's a limey blimey.
Well, the funny thing was, too, you know, I used the video phone to call him, and I wanted to make sure he knew that we weren't going to be video chatting during the actual episode. I did.
One question. Were you wearing pants? Did you at least put on pants when you called him?
Nobody could only see me from the waist up.
Oh, thank God. We're going to lose our Star Wars connection.
I actually called him from the smoking room downstairs. You remember, Sean? I have that big wood room with the humidors behind it and everything.
You can't even use it now. I don't use it anymore.
I quit smoking. Yeah, but Charles and Chrissy still use it. So.
Well, that's good. Jamie's cool, huh?
Jamie is cool. And you know, ladies, I know how you ladies swoon over those accents. And he's got that accent, trust me.
He's got the British accent, Governor.
He's got the smooth British accent.
Yeah, I better not do that governor thing tonight, huh? He might kill me. He's a stormtrooper you don't want to mess with, dude. Former pro soccer player, mixed martial art, master, trainer, stunt performer, fight instructor. I would say run the other way if Jamie gets angry. But anyway, not only is, like you said, Nathan, he's a freaking stormtrooper. My God, how many stormtroopers have you talked to in your lifetime?
In my dreams or in real life?
Well, in real life.
None.
Have you ever had a dream that you were... who hasn't dreamed of being a stormtrooper?
I have not dreamed that I was a stormtrooper. I have dreamt that I was running away from stormtroopers.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm a rebel.
I don't know.
I am a part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take me away.
Well, you know we had... He's a traitor. Take him away. Put him in the cargo hold, Boba. God, we had Jeremy Bullock on, guys. Of course, if you don't know who he is, you're not a Star Wars fan. Jeremy Bullock's the original Boba Fett from the original Star Wars trilogy, right, Nathan?
That is correct, sir.
And we had him on. What an epic interview, guys. Go back into our archives, check it out, Jeremy Bullock, and he was on the show. But now, this is the first lid pullback on the brand new Star Wars The Force Awakens. So, more to come, guys. Yeah, stay tuned. Force Awakens going to be raining down on your head.
Hey, Sean, I just found this on Facebook. Somebody sent it to me on Facebook.
Hey, what's our Facebook and Twitter and all that? How can people get a hold of us?
People can get a hold of us by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com. That's GHOSTANDDEMON.com. And you can find the links to all our Facebook and web, Twitter and web pages right there. Even our IMDb. People want to go on and say something nice about us from our TV days, they can find us right there.
IMDb, we've done TV. Have you done TV?
Please. Now if they just start paying us for it.
Yes, we've done TV.
Hey, but Sean, I found out, somebody sent this to me on Facebook.
Okay.
What is your droid name?
Hey, that's interesting.
So apparently you need to take the first letter of your last name.
Oh, hold
on. So your first one would be B.
B, right.
My first one would be S.
S.
The first number of your address.
Okay.
So yours would be 3, correct?
Right.
Okay.
No. 5.
5, sorry. So yours is, so far you are B5.
Yeah.
The last letter of your first name. So you're N.
N? You're N.
I'm N.
Yeah.
Is it the last letter of your first name, N?
Oh, yeah, I thought you said the first. Oh, my God. I know one
thing. The last letter of your first name.
My droid will not be a intelligent protocol droid, that's for sure. Jesus.
You will not be a protocol droid, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
The last digit of your phone number.
Last digit. Now I got to think of my cell phone or does it matter?
What phone do you use the most?
Okay, I got a cell phone. Who uses their home phone that much anymore except for telemarketers?
And I like to pick, as we talked last week, I like to pick it up and say things like when the telemarketers call and say, Empire State Building, King Kong speaking, how can I help you? What's the last digit of your telephone number?
Just get on there and say, help me. I need help. Somebody's in the house. 4, Nathan.
4. Mm-hmm. So you are...
B5.
First letter of your first name, N.
That starts it.
Yes.
Okay.
So you are N, mm-hmm. 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
S.
You said that backwards.
No, it's the first letter of, you're right, the last letter of your first name. So, first
Jesus
letter of your
Christ.
Last name. So it's, you are S5. N4.
S5N4. I like it.
So mine's boring. I'm N2S2.
I'm sex or five.
No, I'm N2, R2.
I'm sex five, seduction four.
Yeah.
That's what I would be. Did you hear, folks?
I've only messed it up three times during the show. Thank goodness it's not the drinking game yet.
We'll get to that a little later.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Can you? So is that would be my droid name if I was a droid? If somebody was.
If you were a droid, you would be S5N4.
S5N4. Okay. Well, that's interesting. And who sent you this? Somebody who sent that to our Facebook feed?
To my Facebook feed.
Oh, okay.
They didn't like you, Sean.
I guess, so much for us being together on everything there. Anyway, Nathan, I was reading about this, and maybe we were going to cover it in the news segment tonight. I don't know, but I'm going to go ahead and go to it because we know a very good friend of the show, Mr. Brooks, came on in the past. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Daily News guys from New York released the information this week that Mel Brooks says he wants to make Spaceballs 2, and he gave it 2 thumbs up.
The search for more money.
Well, they said they actually confirmed it. The Schwartz Awakens comic legend Mel Brooks is pumping some fresh Perrier into rumors of a sequel for Spaceballs, his beloved 1987 Star Wars spoof.
Will Governor Scrooge be making a appearance?
He was on, I don't know, I'm sure.
That was Mel Brooks.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he'd be back. He'd be a little slower. He might not be with that.
Can yogurt do all those fancy sword things the newer Yoda can do?
I don't know. He had the Schwartz. Of course, I'm sure the governor's sexy assistant dropped a little bit on her.
He's got a new assistant.
He might have to put her out the path. Anyway,
she's the new Dark Helmet.
Comic legend Mel Brooks is pumping some fresh da 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 da. Spanking, he was speaking this past week.
Spanking?
Yeah, he was spanking it too. On a comedian Adam Carolla's podcast. Wow. The 88-year-old director said now was the perfect time to revisit the madcap space poof, given the upcoming reboot of Star Wars franchise. He even had a little title ready for it. Are you ready? Are you ready for the title? Well, what would you think the title would be?
Well, you said it was The Schwartz Awakens.
No, that's what somebody had speculated, but he's saying Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Well, that was the original title that he gave at the end of the first movie.
Was it really?
Yes.
So
he said, hopefully we'll all meet up in the sequel.
Yeah.
Spaceballs, The Search for More Money.
I liked it. And, yeah, he was, of course, referencing the joke in the first film. But, yeah, guys, big news. Hope it's back. They said that it is coming back and that Rick Moranis and all the original cast that's still with us, of course.
It's tough to get Rick Moranis to sign up for a gig these days.
It is. It's I called his agent, his publicist, and the guy has fallen off the face of the planet.
He originally didn't want to do the new Ghostbusters.
Really? Why not?
I have no clue, but that's one of the reasons why it got held off as long as it did.
Well, he was on the, you know how you see those YouTube videos every once in a while, and it's like, you know, you have your hauntings around America, stuff like that, most haunted places, and then every once in a while you'll see child stars that fell off the face of the earth or stars that just walked away from it. And right. They talked about Melanie Griffin. How, if you think about it, you haven't seen her nothing anymore. I think her name was Melanie Griffin, right? Or Melanie Griffith. And then, you know, he came up.
Griffiths, I think. Griffiths?
Griffiths is someone. Whatever. Famous lady that is now missing. But they brought up Moranis, and they said that he had left to raise a family or whatever. So,
well, good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll work for the rest of us.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
Knocking down our doors to do shows.
Well, not yet. I mean, my God. What do you expect, Nathan? Anyway.
Hey, brother, are we broadcasting okay? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, as far as I know, we're going out right here in our own galaxy, so.
Okay. Just making sure.
Why is anybody?
I'm trying to view us, and my server has shut down, so I wanted to make sure that it wasn't every server.
Oh, that's great. Your server shut down. So
guys, we're not actually talking right now. No, I'm sorry, not my server. My computer shut down.
Oh, well, yeah.
I watched the chat room on.
Okay. Well, he'll get back in there, folks. If you are in the chat room, give us a shout out. Get in some questions for Jamie. Have you ever wanted to ask a stormtrooper a question, Nathan?
I have.
Shadow Nation, have you ever wanted to ask one? Because tonight is your chance. Get in the chat room right there on, they go to Ustream, right, Nathan?
They do.
Yeah, just click on the thing that says go to Ustream chat and get your questions in for Jamie, and we'll make sure the best we can that we get those questions in. But no further, without further ado, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Sean?
Time to drink my coffee, apparently, because...
a little more energy with it.
Now I can have it. Okay, guys. Hey, I'm the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And I'm Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is What's Strange This Week in News.
That's right, folks. Weird news that Sean and I pull right out of the papers. You know the drinking game. We make a mistake, you take a drink. Of course, that is if you're driving. Don't play the G&D drinking game. And please remember to listen responsibly.
How are they supposed to do that, Nathan?
I don't know.
Usually you give a list, like if you're going to a wedding or... Anyway, go ahead. Leave our
list. Get a safe driver.
Okay, I'm up to bat first, guys. If you don't know how this works, when you hear the bell go off, that means we messed up because we haven't read the story first, as my cohort has said before. First up to bat, San Francisco's parks renovation includes open-air urinal.
I knew you'd like that story.
I would. San Francisco, January 29th, guys, with the UPI. Thanks, guys, so much for giving us the story. A popular San Francisco park that reopened after years of construction is drawing attention for an unusual new feature. An open-air public urinal.
Okay.
Nothing. I got my hand on that. Anyway, the urinal located right next to the train tracks at Dolores Park was installed as the park... there you go, guys. There's the first one. Was installed as part of the park's $20.5 million renovations due to the City Parks and Recreation Department's ongoing problems with public urination on buildings and brushes. They were just watering the plants, for God's sakes. You can't
Why
buy
not?
It.
It's fun. It's good. It's better than, like, I hear New York is going to make it legal to pee in the public.
Anyway, yeah, well, the more options we can give them to relieve themselves, the better for the park goers. San Francisco supervisor. Apparently, they're doing it in front of families, so that's... Anyway, the supervisor for San Francisco, Scott Wilder, told the KNTV News, the better it is for our neighbors if you're hiding the pee-pee. The new feature was welcomed by park goers. Honestly... We were ready to go pee anywhere, park visitor Aaron Coulter said, after trying out the urinal, so any facility is better than none. He's got a point there, Nate.
He's got like a curtain there, doesn't he? He
pulls it around him. The park's other renovations include more indoor toilets, a skyline, overlook area, and off-leash dog play areas.
Yeah.
Everybody's big on the dogs now, man. You know, everybody's always been big on the dogs, but the dogs actually have nicer parks than we do, some of them.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have to share my the park that I went and played frisbee golf in. It was also the dog walking park.
I've never played frisbee golf.
That's because you were never a hippie.
Yeah, well, I heard it was really cool, though. But anyway, have you seen the picture of this urinal?
I have. Like I said, it's got like a curtain.
Yeah, it's like a concrete slab. And you guys can see the urinal soaked all over it, and it's got like a... Yeah, like you said, like a piece of sheet metal around some chicken wire, and they couldn't do better than that. Jeez, oh, Pete, for their $20.5 million renovations? Wow. That's what I need to do next year.
Do you really think they spend $20,000 on a hammer, $30,000 on a toilet seat?
Hey, that's coming back, guys.
I saw that.
Yeah, Independence Day. Anyway, you got the next story, Nathan. I had one bill on. See what you
got. All right, fine. Thai Airlines allow passengers to buy seat for supernatural dolls.
Oh, my God.
And, Sean, this has to be true because it comes from CNN.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they covered the
You cross your fingers hoping you're not going to get seated next to a child. No such luck, but this is no ordinary kid.
Okay.
She doesn't cry. She doesn't move. She doesn't kick the seat because she's actually a Luke Ta. Have a drink, folks.
Betsy Wetsy.
Luke Thap. Luke Thap.
Okay.
Or a supernatural child angel doll.
Oh.
Sounds too bizarre to be true. Not if you're boarding a flight in Thailand.
To the Batmobile.
That's right. The lifelike doll.
Yeah.
Do you have a drink?
Ah.
The lifelike dolls have become a popular. Have become so popular that the regular carriers of the Smile Airways.
Smile.
A subsidiary of Thailand's flag carrier, Thai Airways, recently introduced its staff to allow the purchase of a seat for the Luke Thop dolls.
Luke Thop.
Luke Thop are L-U-K-T-H-E-P.
Yeah, go ahead and drink, guys.
Why not?
Yeah.
They are believed to possess a child's spirit.
Ooh.
And being good fortune, thus many ties have taken them to treating them like real kids. The International Thai Smile Memo, yeah, beginning.
Now
that I know that people are drinking, I'm messing up on purpose. No, really, folks, that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Are being critical among the media. Says the dolls have to be buckled up like a human passenger and will be served snacks and drinks. As with real children.
Okay.
They are banned from sitting in exit rows.
Wonder if they have peanut allergies, the dolls.
Yes, really. Don't have a ticket for your doll? It'll be treated as carry-on luggage and stowed during takeoff and landing.
People have lost their mind. Now, I got you Jocelyn, the haunted doll.
Yes, Jocelyn is still, she's in the studio. Hello, yeah. Jocelyn.
Yeah, hello, Jocelyn.
So it's,
that was creepy. That was creepy, dude. Now we've had a lot of weirdos. We've had a lot of weird things on this show. A lot of things have happened live on the air, but the haunted doll has never been one of them.
No, she has not ever taken to making announcements during the program.
If she could, that would be amazing.
She did keep me up one night when I first got her.
Jocelyn,
that is a true fact. Yes, Jocelyn is still banging in the walls
in the
a little bit.
Jocelyn.
Fortunately, Chrissy P was away, so didn't.
That was creepy. That was creepy, dude.
Okay.
Now we've
well,
I am actually hearing the feedback come back. Never heard that before, Nathan.
The haunted doll has never.
You've got feedback.
I actually hear our show coming back at me.
How's that? Any better?
Yeah, it actually went away. That's right, guys. We're going to try the news again. I'm going to cut that right off. Yeah. That was weird. That's the first time we're talking about haunted dolls. And there you go, guys. It might have been Jocelyn. You think it was Jocelyn? I don't know. It could have been. Nathan, did I lose you?
There we go.
There we go. Okay, guys.
You know what, folks? It's the internet issues I was discussing with Sean just before the show. I think I have it fixed now. Sorry about that, Sean.
That's okay. Next up, the bad guys. X-ray finds woman's missing wedding ring inside her baby.
Ooh, that sounds painful.
January 29th, the good folks from Washington, out of the UPI newspaper. The father of a curious 14-month-old boy said his wife's missing wedding ring finally turned up when a doctor X-rayed the baby's stomach. Wow. Yeah, my wife couldn't find her wedding ring yesterday, he says. We decided to have our baby X-rayed just in case. Who would think that right away? Let's X-ray the baby. Let's X-ray our 14-month-old. Anyway.
They put everything in their mouth, don't you know, Sean?
Yeah, that ring needs to be fitted better if it's slipping off there. Anyway, decided to have our baby X-rayed just in case.
What was the missus doing that she took the ring off?
I have no idea. No idea. The Reddit user shared the X-ray photo showing the ring in the baby's stomach, which they did, guys. You can search that. Just put an X-ray photo showing a ring in the baby's stomach, and I'm sure it'll come up. He said the baby, the couple's third child, had shown previous interest in the ring before it vanished. Yeah. He was looking at it going, meh.
Let me suck on your fingers, Mom.
We've fished it out of his mouth before. Ah, now the story unrolls right there, unravels. She had it on the bathroom counter while getting ready. He must have grabbed it, the man wrote. The dad said doctors sent the family home expecting the ring to resurface through natural means. Ow. The Redditor, that's what it is, guys. Redditor later shared a second picture showing the ring. I think that's his internet name. The Redditor later shared a second picture showing the ring free of the baby's bowels, but covered in the rest of his diaper contents. Oh, nice story.
Hey,
way
Sean.
Way to pick him. He said his wife is still planning to wear the ring. I assume we'll give it a good washing first. There you go.
Here you go, Sean. This is one bring back memories for you.
Yeah.
Since we had the a couple members, including the High Priestess of the First Church of Satan.
Okay.
On this show. Satanist to do invocation in Phoenix City Council meeting.
Oh, no.
Yes. Members of a satanic group will be opening a prayer at the upcoming Phoenix City Council meeting.
All right.
Some council members have objected. But the city attorney, Brad Holm, says that the government cannot exclude a religion from praying under such circumstances.
Okay.
Satanic Temple member Su Di Hon says that the group doesn't intend to do anything offensive. He says the Satanic Temple does not believe in a literal Satan, but see the biblical Satan as a metaphor for rebellion against tyranny.
Oh!
The Arizona Republic reports that the temple will perform the invocation on February 17th. The city invocation has been delivered by Christians, Jews, Muslims, have a drink, folks. I'm gonna cry. And people of all other faiths. The temple submitted the request in December to give the prayer.
It should have been June 6th of 2006.
Get there it? You go.
666. That's terrible. We're going to hell. You know that, right?
And you're coming with us, folks.
Yes, we're dragging
you. Get on the train. We're taking you all with us.
Anyway, brother, the hour is upon us, 7:28.
Hey, before we go to break there, Sean, what do we, what did you think of last week's X-Files?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we didn't talk about that, did we?
No, we did not.
I thought X-Files, we're talking about Sunday's premiere, guys, and Monday's second episode, My Struggle and the Founder Mutation, and the third one's coming up. It's Monday night, right?
It's tomorrow night.
See, we got to get that fixed, man. The X-Files is a weekend thing. What are they doing?
Well, again, they didn't want to compete with football.
Yeah.
Super Bowl's coming up. It's going to run late. You know it is.
That's true.
And then it overlaps with an episode of Walking Dead, and they don't want to fight against that. So
I think it's going to be a good boxing match, though, between X-Files and Walking Dead. I think so, anyway. But I thought it was interesting. We got to find out a lot about Mulder and Scully.
Where they've been, what they've been doing.
What they've been doing. And it kind of, the first one, My Struggle, you know, it kind of confused me because at first Mulder was talking about, we've been lied to. The aliens aren't real. It's the government creating. But at the very beginning, there's an alien crawling in the dirt, and the military shoots it. And then,
but we've been told for the last 50 years, Sean, or 70 years, especially for the last 50 years, that the aliens are our enemies, and it's actually our own government. The aliens are our friends.
You think that was what he was talking about, huh?
Yes.
Oh, we have pals. We have pals out there. Well, I hope so. I was watching Mars Attacks last night. That'd be bad. But I am glad it's back. I know the world is glad it's back. It felt good. I felt like I was back in high school, Friday night, sitting in front of the TV. How'd you feel?
I loved it, and I'm really excited that tomorrow night is a Monster of the Week episode.
Yeah, what is tomorrow night?
Mulder and Scully meet the Weremonster.
There we go. It's back. And I see your wife was posting on our page that there was a picture. There was actually an article. Kochek. What was his name? The old.
Well, they show an image of a character that looks a lot like now you got me saying
Kochek or whatever. Yeah.
The monster hunter.
And that was a great show. He was a newspaper
reporter. They have a picture that looks very similar to him in the next episode.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm excited about it. I'm glad it's back. And I think it's going to be epic, man. I think it's going to give The Walking Dead a run for its money. But are you ready to go to break?
I guess I'm ready, brother.
Okay, guys, stay tuned because tonight's guest, Mr. Jamie Chambers, he was a stormtrooper. Once a stormtrooper, always a stormtrooper. That's what I always say. Well, guys, he's coming by the
studio. You say a lot of things.
Tonight he's in a galaxy not too far away. Actually, he's going to be right here. He's a professional actor, mixed martial artist, and he's trained in all kinds of stunt performance, known from his work on Fury, Beowulf, Kingsman, and, of course, the box office smash hit, The Force Awakens. Tonight, right here on your Mystifying Oracle Radio, Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, I'm proud to say. Right here, Nathan. Our number two Star Wars guest.
Well, he's not our number two. He's our second Star Wars guest.
Yeah, not number two. Not like a backup team. I wasn't saying that. Oh, my goodness, Nathan. What was you thinking I was going to do?
I'm in a mood.
You are in a mood. Anyway, guys, each week we try to play a new band anyway, and this week's band will be Song Machine. Name of the song, Voodoo Queen. I think we played this before, but we love them so much. We're going to play it again because the new music apparently didn't get loaded. Anyway, guys, Shadow Nation, Demon Hunter,
Ghost Man.
We'll be right back.
How you liking the new format?
Oh, I like it. It's really good.
Actor from the X-Files and Continuum. My autobiography is Where There's Smoke, and you're listening to Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter Show.
welcome back, world, to the one, the only mystifying Oracle of Radio. Your Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. Tonight's guest is a professional actor, mixed martial artist, training stunt performer, and a fight instructor. A former pro soccer player that decided to refocus his career on acting and action performance. Known for such works as Fury, Beowulf, Kingsman, and much more, guys, that he'll go into tonight. But the world's, of course, the world's smash box office hit, right? Star Wars The Force Awakens. Shadow Nation, please help us welcome to the studio Mr. Jamie Chambers. What's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good. Hey, Nathan promised all the chicks out there around the world that you would talk for 5 minutes and do your accent for everybody can, you know, the women.
My accent.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've been communicating with you for quite a while now through email. And yeah. I didn't know what time it was there. So I never know. I told Nathan, I don't know what time it is there. What is it, midnight?
It's 12:30, yeah.
Oh, man. Thanks for staying up so late to be with us live on the show.
No, it's fine, guys.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to go right into what you've done. People are interested. I told Nathan before the show, when have people been able to ask a stormtrooper questions? We've all grew up, right, wanting to be a stormtrooper or a Jedi or whatever, but you've done so much more. What was life like for a little Jamie Chambers growing up? Where did you grow up and what got you involved in the movies and stuff?
Well, I grew up in West London, in Uxbridge, and I was always into sport and throwing myself off stuff. And I got into more extreme sports as I grew up. As I fell out of football, I fell into the more extreme side of things. Ended up doing a lot of martial arts, parkour, free running. And then...
Yeah, but didn't your, I don't know, professional soccer career, I mean, what have you not done,
yeah,
Jamie?
Yeah, that sounds like more of a sob story than it honestly is.
Oh,
but
no.
The final game before signing contract, I blew out both my knees.
Oh.
And, yeah, so I haven't got many ligaments left in my knees. But that was my point to switch into coaching, and I was head goalkeeper coach with Brentford and working with the England women's team. And then, I realised that I really didn't like it. So I was watching Jason Statham in The Transporter and I went, I've got to try that. I've got to know.
You've got to try stealing cars and
yes.
Blowing people up?
Not so much the stealing car side of thing, but, you know, taking on 10 guys in a garage while there's oil on the floor and, you know, the martial arts and the action and, you know, just being Jason Statham, really.
Right. Well, shoot, who hasn't wanted to do that, Jamie? I mean,
yeah, you know. Exactly.
Dude, in the pictures you sent, you're kicking butt all over the place. You're in a lot of high-action movies. How did you get into the martial arts stuff?
Well, I've always been in martial arts. I started in judo when I was really young. My parents made sure that I did absolutely everything growing up. So I started off in that. I got more interested in Krav and doing the mixed martial arts side of things. Ended up kickboxing because that's the best one to sort of transfer across to screen combat and that sort of stuff. So I've been fighting pretty much all my life.
Okay, well, you know, I tried, hey, I'm a yellow belt, so don't mess with me, brother. You know, I made it when I was in third grade. Yeah, I remember, you remember when it was real big, at least here in the States, it was everybody when I was in middle school was like, oh my God, you got to get into karate. And of course, the Karate Kid yeah. came out. Did the Karate Kid inspire you at all?
Wax on, wax off.
Do you know the crane technique, Jamie?
But, yeah, I always liked the more brutal side of things. So I was always into the more the English style fighting where it's all brawling and it always looked a little more real. And then sort of like the Asian martial arts came over, the martial art films that came over with that. And then Jackie Chan sort of was a big inspiration. And then moving into more like the Jason Bourne films, the Transporter films, and that's the real inspiration for the action and the choreography and the fight sequences.
I always got the feeling that the Jason Bourne fighting in scenes were based more on like Krav Maga. Than
oh, yeah,
were.
Definitely.
Because that's brutal what they do. In those
I love Krav. I love everything about it. It's all to do with body joints and how you can fight by manipulating someone else's body and keeping yourself at distance. It's a lot of fun to sort of choreograph those sort of scenes because you can go on for hours. So it's really, really good fun.
You know, I don't know how it was growing up in the UK, Jamie, but here in the States, I remember on Saturday afternoons, after all the cartoons in the morning, you would have the Kung Fu featured. Do you remember this? Grasshopper. And then, you know, when the voiceovers were terrible, those were the best, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I just got like the full Kung Fu series on DVD for Christmas, Sean.
Rub it in, young grasshopper. I mean, any guy that travels the world in flip-flops and can kill everybody with his finger, he's got my respect.
Yep. Huh? Definitely.
Can you do that, Jamie? One finger attacks?
The one thing that I remember about martial arts, Sean, is I'm reminded about it every day from the pain in my arms and my legs, yes, from all the stupid stuff I did when I was taking it. But well, yeah. First question has come in for you, and it comes from our chat room. And guess what? It's from Jill, and it's the same question I asked you before we went live, Jamie. And that is, what was it like in the suit? Was it hot in the suit?
Well, we were shooting in Abu Dhabi, and the summers there is like 50 to 56 degrees most days.
That's Celsius. Remind
yeah.
We've got Sorry, a lot
I'm,
of US.
I'm
listeners.
Using old money.
Yeah.
And so the suit, you put on a black cat suit first, then you get sealed into your legs, then you get the crotch piece put on, then you've got the middle torso, then the top torso, then the neck piece, then the shoulders, then arm pieces, which are all one piece. They're all made out of perspex and rubber, so there's no breathing going on at all. Yes. Then you step outside into the sun, and you then lose all your body fluids.
You bake.
Yeah, you literally bake.
So you were a stormtrooper omelet, basically. But, you know, the thing about it is, now we went right into Star Wars. Oh, my God. We're going to be here all night, Jamie. But, you know, everybody, of course, the success of The Force Awakens, Star Wars, it brought back the trilogy. When you were growing up with the original trilogy like I did and Nathan did you ever think, looking at the big screen, I'm going to be in that?
Genuinely, I didn't until I realized that it was filmed down the road from me. And I was like, all right, it's a little bit closer than I thought. And then I had to travel to the UAE to actually be in it. But no, it was one of those where you always want to be a Jedi. You always want to be a Sith, or the stormtroopers look cool. And right. But it was always out of reach. And I just right place, right time, I think.
Yeah, how did that walk us through the casting call? How all that? I mean, how do you cast for a man in a suit that just kills people?
I know. I had a very good friend who's working on it. I worked with him on Fury as well, and I got a call from the UAE. It came up on my phone. Didn't know who it was or what was going on. And it was Jay. What are you up to in 2 weeks' time? And I was like, I'm pretty free. And all right, you gonna come out to the UAE? And I was like, okay, what are you doing? He was like, can't really tell you, but let's just say you're going to be a white suit and you're going to be running around the desert. At which point I said, yeah, sign me up, I'm in. And from then it was...
Little did you know the white suit was going to weigh 40 pounds.
Yeah. And be perspex and rubber, yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, when you were on the set, Jamie, of Star Wars The Force Awakens, and you guys were out there, of course, I know you can't say much with Disney. We're not going to ask you about the plot and who did it all and who's Emperor Supreme Leader Snoke. We don't ask that stuff on here. But, you know, I was going to – oh, you guys ruined it for me because Jill jumped right into it there in the chat room. I was going to say, what's it like working for the First Order, and is Kylo Ren tough guy to, you know, work for? But
Adam Driver's fantastic. He's an amazing actor, amazing talent, lovely, lovely guy. It's one of those rare things where everyone on set was amazing. There wasn't a bad person to be seen. It was everyone working for like a unified cause and everyone enjoying every minute, whether you were in perspex suit or whether you were in shorts and t-shirt enjoying the sun. And even at wrap time, it was one of those where everyone was just so buzzed the whole time. Right. Because everything is practical. There's hardly any, apart from the flying stuff, there's no CG. Everything that you can see on screen is there. You can interact with it. Right. It was just an amazing experience to actually be on set in the living Star Wars universe.
Now, of course, you're a mixed martial artist master. I'm going to call you Mason. And you do all the fight. Did that definitely help you get a position as a stormtrooper, right?
Being able to fall over is genuinely a benefit being a stormtrooper.
Did you get killed early on or, you know, what was it?
I think everyone that plays a stormtrooper gets killed at some point. you're all pretty interchangeable. The great thing about it is that my nickname on set was Nothing Effing Fits, because I had to, I'm a little bit bigger than your average stormtrooper, and getting a guy with a 44-inch chest into a rubber and perspex chest piece is a little bit of hard work. So
I think I got your
every time I breathed, I popped it. So
I think I got your Star Wars figure down here. The action figure is nothing. Yeah, nothing. Freaking fits. That's his. Yeah, R2, nothing's freaking fits. But, you know, people are so involved in the Star Wars and, you know, the Comic-Cons. How's it feel to know that you never have to work again? You could live off Comic-Con if you'd like.
I'm definitely still working. I've had more calls since Star Wars than I had before. It's amazing. But with Comic-Con and stuff like that, I'm out to France in at the end of February, had the autograph submissions left, right, and center. It's been amazing, like the fan sort of interaction with it, and it's great to interact with that because people are so passionate about it.
Oh my God, yes. Any more questions about Star Wars? I know this is a stupid question from the chat room.
I just wanted to ask, when they're trying to find out if you can be a stormtrooper, do they hand you a gun and tell you to shoot a target, and if you can hit it, you don't get the job?
I think that's a general sort of rule of thumb. If you can hit your target, you're not a stormtrooper. We had a fantastic guy when we were out in Abu Dhabi who, ex-military, and he talked us through some real life military processes and how to stack properly, how to aim. You notice in the film, there's no shooting from the hip. It's a lot more military realistic. The First Order stormtroopers look a lot more effective than the original trilogy.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And you didn't see much, nobody hit their head. I was kind of depressed. You remember that classic scene?
I think dropping your blaster was about as close as we got to that. But
that's cool, man. JJ brought that back with the, like when we were kids, you know, that goofy thing that came out of the sand going, what, it looked like a worm made out of paper mache. And, you know, like you said, everything was real. It was back, you know, for the most part on set with real sets and everything. So
Simon Pegg's character in the scrapyard. I mean, Simon's lovely and sitting there in that massive animatronic suit and in such heat.
Oh, yeah.
But even that suit, there's no CG in that. That is all practical effects.
Right. Now, Simon.
Everything on it is amazing.
Have you got to spend any time with Simon? Because I know he's out that way.
Yeah, I spent the day with him. He was fantastic.
Yeah. See, you guys, I want to drink beer with the stormtrooper. We could be doing that, Nathan.
They're all hanging out in the cantina.
Well, yeah, you know they were.
Oh, definitely.
Anyway, let's move on, man, because you've done so much. Let's jump right into Fury. Of course, it was a smash hit. It took America. It took Britain and America and our history. It took us all back, and it put us during a terrible time in our history. What was that like? What position did you play in the film, and how was that? How was the training for that?
Fury was an incredible experience. I had the best part of 5 months working on that. Did all the pre-production, worked all the way through, met some really fantastic people, both behind and in front of the camera. I was involved in the special action, also helped production. I was ADing, a lot of stuff on that. The cast were incredible because it's essentially a character study in a tank, but at the same time, it's got that whole war film. It's got a bigger sort of world around it, and just incredible level in terms of production value and everything else on top of it. But to be on the set, it was a living, breathing US base for a lot of it. And then on top of that, the four working Sherman tanks and the Tiger, a full German village being made just down the road from me in the UK. Just everything about it really embedded you into the whole how it would have felt in World War II.
Yeah, absolutely. What characters did you play in that, or what infantry?
I was given a character. I played a private, Private James. Unfortunately, my dialogue with Michael Peña is only in the Blu-ray edition. That made me buy the Blu-ray, to be fair, but that was fine.
All right, I'll go buy the Blu-ray now.
sounds like our TV career, Nathan. Only yeah. in the extras.
Yeah.
We're only in the $50 savings pack.
Right. No, man, you've done so. Like you said, that's an epic film too, Fury. And to be back, where was that filmed at? Where was the location?
Just down the road from me, just outside Watford.
Oh, wow.
They had five or six fields where they could run the tanks through. The scene where they're crossing the German trenches was filmed in some fields just off the M25 in outside London. And then the other stuff was filmed in Oxford. So the entire film was filmed in the UK.
Oh, wow. So everything's right outside your door, man. You're like going to
yeah,
be a
pretty much.
You're going to be at the Emmys here in no time, and you'd be like, well, it was really in my backyard, so I just went out and said, hey.
Yeah, I just fell out the front door, and I was on the set.
Yeah, every kid in America now is going to be like, oh, my God, he had a friend who just called him and said, you're going to be in a white suit, get on a plane, let's do this.
Could be in of course, he heard white suit desert. He thought he was remaking Lawrence of Arabia.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not. But everybody wants to remake that. But
that was a movie, folks, just so I...
Yeah, that's way back in the machine. Now, you've done so much stuff. You've done The Kingsman, right?
Which I loved.
Yeah, The Kingsman was good. Beowulf. What kind of stuff did you get into on the set of Beowulf?
Beowulf, we were doing a lot of fight and sword work. We have a group of people out here at the British Action Academy who specialize in sword fighting and screen combat. And they've got a fantastic fight team that go out and perform for a screen. And they were essentially the fight team for Beowulf. We were in there for all the close-up fight sequences that required performance and sort of real in-depth sort of character development with fighting on top. So we were there for the whole of the production for Beowulf.
Oh, wow. Now, Nathan, you love Beowulf.
Wait, Sean, you said, you know, you mentioned The Kingsman. I said I love it, and you moved right along.
Yeah, well, let's go into The Kingsman. Let's go back.
I just got to talk about The Kingsman because I loved The Kingsman. It was Bond movies on steroids. It was fabulous.
It had that campness of the Bond films, and it had that sort of realistic, gritty element as well. I thought Taron was absolutely amazing. It's put him in good stead to play a lot of different roles, and to sort of see Samuel L. Jackson performing the way he does as well. It was just another of those films where you go, am I really in the same room as Samuel L. Jackson, Colin Firth, Taron Egerton, all these guys?
Yeah. Did he say, I'm sick of all these snakes on this plane. Beep, beep, beep. You had to walk up to
him. He was actually a little bit more refined. It was different to see him like that, but it was absolutely incredible.
Did he keep the lisp when he was offset?
No. he was able to switch off pretty easy from that one, I think.
Hey, what genre do you think you're best suited to? Do you think horror, drama, comedy?
Well, I'm about to go into horror. Playing lead bad guy in a new horror film that I can't talk too much about at the moment. But basically, the bad guy is a mix of Darth Vader and a martial arts bad guy.
Right.
He uses a sickle bow staff. I've been told I might as well practice bow staff blindfolded because the costume means I can't see anything. So, yeah, I'm going into horror next. But I think... definitely action, to be honest. I mean, I love sort of being stretched and doing the more softer side of things and doing the romantic stuff and the dramatic stuff. But whenever I've got the opportunity to have a fight sequence or jump off something or get blown up or shot at or fire at people, then I'm always going to jump at that.
What was your favorite type
So you want to be a romantic assassin?
Yes.
That would be nice, you know.
Back to what was it? The film where you wanted to steal cars and
he just wants to do it all. He wants to cave your skull in, steal your girl, and then take your car. Jesus.
That would sound like a good film.
That's it. I'm your director.
Sounds like the guy who married my ex-wife.
Yeah. Get on a plane, Jamie. You'll be in a white suit. And out in the cornfields of Indiana. But, you know, I know we're running out of time, man. And, you know, I'm going to bring it on back to Star Wars because that's hot and heavy. That was the recent. Now, do you know about the future with The Force Awakens? Are you going to, can you say, do you know if you're going to be a stormtrooper in the next?
They're still, production's only just started over here. Yeah. So it's all in very early stages. And number 8 and number 9, in terms of directors and stuff, they only confirmed the directors about six weeks ago. Right. So that's, now that's ironed on, they're going to iron on the additional parts of the script and that sort of stuff. I'm actually in the process of some changes behind the scenes for myself. So it's up in the air, but it's all looking positive.
Now we know that the stormtroopers are no longer clones.
Yes and no.
See. So, but they don't all look alike.
Yeah, that's what they did, because they've taken a lot of stuff from the expanded universe and just sort of repurposed it. So there are still clones from the originals, but they're also the stolen orphan storyline that they used for John Boyega.
Oh my God!
Brand new news. fresh out for here first. There you go.
We just went to the top 10 radio shows in America.
But do you? Does that mean that you might get to take a helmet off? Maybe we know you're not allowed to take the helmet off without permission. But maybe like all the stormtroopers like hang out after work one night, and you get to take the helmet off and have a drink.
That would be a decent sort of a expanded storyline. What the stormtroopers do off duty.
Hey Jamie, I got to ask you because we're entertainers still climbing the ladder, so you know how it is to struggle and get the notoriety and get up there. We've been doing this for about 9.5 years now. We'll be coming up on our 10th anniversary. We've got a big following, a lot of
That's
listeners.
Amazing.
Well, we love doing it, brother. We get to talk to cool cats like you, and I mean, my God. But, you know, we know how it is out there. At what point does an actor get to where you don't have to go wait tables at night or work a full-time job anymore? Because I would like to get there. How about that? Or a broadcaster, you know.
Well, I hustle every day. Even though I've got an agent, I've got a commercial agent, and I've got guys working behind the scenes promoting me and doing that stuff, I hustle for myself every day. And I make sure that casting directors, industry professionals, all these people know what I'm doing, when I'm doing it, how I'm doing it, who I'm talking to, and just keeping that momentum going, because that's the key for the entertainment industry as a whole.
So the emails just pour in. I can't believe you found our request. You were like, this is different. Okay.
I'm always up for talking to anyone about anything. And you guys, you're so much fun and you're passionate about what you talk about. It's just great fun to talk to you guys.
Of course,
it helps, Sean, when your little tagline at the top of the email said, Jamie, we'd really like to talk to you. Your new furniture in your living room looks fabulous. Going, I better find out who this is.
Who is this guy? Well, you know, Jamie.
That definitely a few alarm bells, but yeah.
After this show, you're going to have a new stalkers outside your window because people are listening right now going, we know who this stormtrooper is now. He's no longer a masked man. But anyway, brother, I know we got to get ready to close out the show. Nathan, do you have anything else for Jamie?
I just wish I could ask a few more questions about Kingsman, but I'd ask all night. Let me just ask this. When you're on the set, considering your history with martial arts, when they're telling you what to do, do you ever wind up working with other guys and saying, "Why, you know, you can do this and it'll help and blah, blah, blah"?
It always falls that way. Everyone comes in with some amazing specialties and it's all from different backgrounds all the time. So especially with screen combat and performing those sort of fight sequences, it's what works best with everyone at that point. Because you've got guys coming from kickboxing backgrounds, boxing, karate, kung fu, taekwondo, all these different backgrounds, and it's all trying to blend and mesh together. So it's always a case of whoever you're fighting, whoever you're working with, it's whatever will sell best to camera at that point. It might be something from taekwondo, it might be something from Krav, but you guys just got to work as a team the best you can to make it all sell, because there's nothing worse, nothing draws you out of the scene more than going, he didn't even vaguely aim for his face. What's going on?
Right.
He
pulled that punch.
As Sean and I get older, we start realizing how nice it is to have microphones tagged to us and we don't have to move around as much. But
I'm only 40.
40 is old, man.
He's turned 40. Come on. Jamie's well, like 24 going, really? Because I'm already.
Welcome to the club, Sean.
Yeah.
But do you see yourself maybe down the road starting to work with these movies just as a choreographer and wanting to be behind the scenes more?
If I'm honest, I'm seeing myself in front of the camera until I'm 70, 80.
Nice.
I love doing stuff and choreographing stuff and doing all that sort of things in conjunction with what I do in front of the camera. So I think the best way is to combine the two, because now that I made the jump and now that I'm in front of the camera, I want to stay there for as long as I can.
Well, brother, I tell you what, you got friends here for the rest of your life. The Ghostman Demon Hunter Show love you. Everything you've been involved in, we know good things are coming to you because you're an amazing man and you're an amazing actor. And thanks so much for coming on. Where can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter.
Twitter?
Literally, just got to type in Jamie Chambers and you'll find me straight away.
See? There you go, guys. Heavy gunner, stormtrooper from Star Wars Force Awakens, Fury, and much, much more. Check him out, Jamie Chambers. Could you stay on the line 1 second while we close out the show?
Of course I can, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. I don't want to end the show, man. I talked to Jamie. I want to have a beer, brother. We're separated by an ocean. What's going on here?
It's so funny.
One across the ocean.
Yeah, I know.
It's so funny because, you know, we get these people all the time who are out in California on the show, and they'll be like, oh, stop by, we'll have a drink. And Sean and I are sitting there going, yeah, East Coast, Mid-America, California might be a ride for a beer. You're just like, it's a long swim to have a beer with you, man.
It is a long swim.
Wow, guys. All right, Jamie, stay on the line 1 second. Nathan, what do you say? We pay the bills.
Yes. Jamie, yes, let's pay the bills.
Jamie
folks,
Chambers, everybody.
Thanks for sticking with us through the new format.
Absolutely. This has been a pretty easy format, don't you think?
It's been a nice changeover, except for my computer issue. But it's fixed now, folks. Stick around.
Special thanks, guys, to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Attentive Home Healthcare, guys. Loving people, ready to help. Give them a check out, guys. Look up Attentive Home Healthcare, attentivehhc.com, the SYL Project. Share some love, give some love today, the SYLproject.com. Creative Commons, FMA, thanks for the tunes, guys. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D Show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.